everyone, and welcome to What Do You Mean You've Never Seen, the podcast where we watch and analyze prestigious and popular films that one or more of us has never seen before. I'm your host, Max Abelman, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jennifer Branch.
Hi, everyone.
And we have a very special guest this evening. Joining us once again is James Alexander. How's it going, James?
I can do this all day.
Well, you're going to have to. And...
Wow. I didn't clear out my schedule that much, Max, but all right.
Yeah.
And we have a second very special guest, and we're really excited about it. My husband has been trying to get on the show for a very long time, and we finally got him on. Welcome, everyone. Big round of applause for Jonathan Colon. How's it going, Jonathan?
Great, I guess, in this alternate universe where I haven't done like 50 of these.
Wow.
We did do at least one without you.
We did do at least one without you. We're missing you over here, Jonathan.
Oh, big time.
And today we are going to be talking about Captain America, the First Avenger.
Ooh.
The first Captain America movie. So
it is a movie.
It is a movie. It is a 2011 film, and Jennifer has watched this for the very first time.
I have. I had never seen it before.
What did you know about this movie, Jennifer?
I, not as much as I thought I did. I only knew that he was from the 40s and got frozen and then came into modern day. I didn't know how he got his powers. I didn't know if he had his powers before he got frozen or if being I, in my mind, had made up the scenario that being frozen gave him his powers.
Yeah, I remember that from the last episode.
Like maybe he just got frozen in a pile of radioactive goo or something. I don't know. I didn't
That's
know how
it.
He got his powers. I wasn't super interested in him as a character as much as some of the other Avengers, so I kind of just never bothered with any of his solo films until this one. Mm. So, you know, I knew nothing, apparently. Even though I've seen movies with him in it, I still didn't know.
Well, there you go. James, what has your relationship been to this film?
Well,
have you seen it a lot?
Anyone?
Yeah. I'm doing so amazing tonight, guys. My brain is melting. James.
Are you in this movie just friends?
Or something
or has it
more?
Gotten more serious?
Are you going steady?
We've been going steady since 2011.
Wow.
No, but this is definitely one of those films that I could have not watched it and still talk to just as much about it. That's how many times I've seen this movie. I mean, back before the days of Endgame, you know, anytime an Avengers movie came out or whenever I felt like it, it would be like a nice time to do like a rewatch of the entire MCU. And as we all know, this is the first Captain America movie of the MCU. So you usually end up watching it near the beginning of it. So even if you start a marathon of the MCU, you probably get to this one before you quit, if you do quit. But anyone who knows me knows that I'm a massive Captain America fan, have been since I was a kid. He's always been my favorite superhero. So I've seen this movie quite a lot. So there's nothing really to surprise me about it. You know, I know every line before it gets to it. The funny bits that I find funny are still funny to me. The cheesy parts that I find cheesy are still cheesy to me. In my mind, this is the weakest of the Captain America movies. So it's always interesting to go back and rewatch it, especially after having had so much time gone on in the MCU since it came out.
When James's baby was born, I sent a Captain America pink blanket for her.
Aww. Yes. And, she does have. Yeah. We might have to break it out again because we're about to have another one in a few months.
Yay!
But yeah,
congrats.
Charlotte definitely outgrew that tiny blanket. But if I had tattoos, I would probably have a tattoo of a Captain America symbol somewhere. But that's how much of a Captain America fan I am. He's always been my favorite.
Yes. And if Chris Evans had tattoos, they would be the tattoos he already has. Jonathan.
Yeah, he does.
Cool.
Wow.
Maybe you should tell
him. I don't
know
how I can improve on that.
Jonathan, did you ever go out with this movie or have you watched it before?
I did not see this movie like the other MCU films. I did not see this when it came out. I didn't see it, I don't think, until after the Avengers movie came out. Mm. That was, as I've said many times on the podcast, I saw the Avengers movie on an airplane and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I guess I should go back and watch all these other movies that led up to this.
Yeah.
So I've seen it several times. It's a
different kind of MCU movie than most of the other ones. And it's the most traditional heroic superhero movie of the Captain America movies. The other ones are a lot more like political intrigue, spy stuff. This is more.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while. And it shocked me again, all of the parallels between this and Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a similar thing.
They are kind of like very similar stories. But the one thing that I always forget is that Tommy Lee Jones is in this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, and he's in a lot of it.
I was like, oh, yeah, because it's the only one he's ever been in.
Yeah.
And he didn't die at the end of this, but.
Well, we have to assume he's dead.
Right. But like, yeah. I mean, obviously.
He was like old in 1940.
Right. But obviously, Stanley Tucci can't ever come back because he died on screen.
Right.
But Tommy Lee Jones could have made a cameo somewhere at some point, but he never did.
Yeah, I didn't know he was. I didn't know him or Stanley Tucci were in this. And when I saw both of them, I was like, really? They were in Marvel movies? How did I not know that?
And also, all the other characters from this all make appearances later, except for him, really.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. A lot of them are in the Agent Carter series.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time that Tommy Lee Jones returns is when you see his photo in The Winter Soldier, when they go back to that same base that they trained in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
see,
yeah.
like, right. his photo, and that's about it.
And he was really good in this.
He was very really good.
I mean,
good
he's
in
good
this.
In everything,
yeah.
but he was really good in this. I really liked his character.
I didn't see this movie when it came out in theaters either. I didn't really watch it until I met Jonathan, because I wasn't as into the Marvel universe until I met him. And then we watched Marvel movies, and now I'm super into it. And now I've watched this movie probably thousands of times at this point. So let's...
Thousands?
Thousands.
Thousands?
Wow. He's got you beat there, James.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know if I...
James has a close personal relationship with this movie.
Oh, boy.
So... Let's jump right into it. Captain America, the First Avenger, is a 2011 film starring Chris Evans, Tommy Lee Jones, Hugo Weaving, Hayley Atwell, Sebastian Stan, Dominic Cooper, Toby Jones, Neil McDonough, Derek Luke, and Stanley Tucci as a German guy.
What? Right off the bat, we gotta talk about that accent. It was horrendous.
It's very stereotypy German.
It was, I mean, from such a good actor to give such a weird performance.
It's giving like the producers like that kind of.
I kept waiting for it to like come out that he wasn't actually German and he was like doing some weird bit because it was so fake.
It's all part of the test.
It was bad. Oh, it was bad.
No, but his part was good.
And it's so disappointing because it's one of those, like, it definitely doesn't hold up. So Jennifer, if you continue to watch this movie as many times as I have, it sounds more and more fake every time you watch it.
Oh, I thought it was so fake right off the bat.
No, and the background behind it is that he always wanted to play a German character. I don't know if he has like
it
any
was
connection
like
to
Germany, cartoony. It was so dumb. It was awful. I could do a better one, and I can't do accents. He's like,
probably.
I'm from Germany. It was like, no. Yeah. It was like an SNL skit. It was bad.
Well, anyways, this movie was directed by Joe Johnston and was produced by Kevin Feige in association with Marvel Pictures, distributed by Paramount Pictures. And it was made for a budget of $142.216 million, and it made $370 million at the box office. So let's get into this plot. Steve Rogers is a tiny little CGI man who's trying to get into the army.
He's an AI.
He's a bot. And he's trying to get into the army. His best friend, Bucky Barnes, gets into the army. And
World War II.
It's World War II, see? Talking like this. Jonathan's favorite accent. And so he's trying several times to get into the army. He's getting into fights in alleyways. And he's a very stubborn little guy who just wants to fight for his country. Eventually, Stanley Tucci sees him and says, wow, that's a guy who I really want to give a super soldier serum to. So he gets Steve Rogers into the army, does a couple of fun montage-y things, throws a grenade at him to test him, decides this is the guy I want to give the super soldier serum to, and they do, and then he turns into Captain America, gets super buff, and at his super soldier, like, bar mitzvah ceremony or whatever, they get attacked and Stanley Tucci dies, so they sort of can the whole super soldier bit and have him go out on the road doing just, like, entertainment and...
It's like a USO tour.
Yeah, he does, like, USO tours as Captain America, sings songs, punches Hitler a bunch. He gets tired of punching Hitler because he wants to go punch Hitler. So he goes, and while he's playing for a regiment in the army, he learns that Bucky and his regiment have been captured and goes with Peggy Carter and Howard Stark in a plane.
I thought you were going to say Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
I'm doing my best. And they drop Steven behind enemy lines. He breaks everybody out. They march back in and they proceed to go fight Hitler. And I totally skipped over freaking Hugo Weaving as
the Red Face Man. What is the character's name?
Red Skull.
Oh, okay. I wasn't too far off. I'm like, did they give him a name? I was confused. Okay.
Yeah. And what's his name?
It's some German thing,
Schmidt,
right?
Schmidt.
Yeah.
Johann Schmidt.
Yeah. So Johann Schmidt is the leader of his own, like, separate faction of super Nazis called Hydra. He has also received the super soldier serum. He was, like, the first guy that Stanley Tucci gave him the super soldier serum, and it didn't work out for him very well because he was evil on the inside. Now he looks evil on the outside. And so he's just out there being bad, taking the Tesseract, trying to be a take over the world and be a better
Hitler than Hitler or something. He's trying to out Hitler.
Yeah. And doing a job of it. So he's on the run. Steve and his friends that he broke out of Red Skull's factory prison thing.
Internment camp kind
of. Yeah, you know. Sort of a deal. Prisoner of war camp. And goes and tries to find Red Skull and take down all of his other operations, factories, what have you. Bucky falls off a cliff and dies. A lot of stuff happens. Basically, in the end, Steve Rogers chases Red Skull onto a plane, trying to get the Tesseract. There's also bombs going to all over the United States. So he gets rid of all of the bombs, fights with Red Skull a bit. Red Skull touches the Tesseract and gets beamed away, and then the Tesseract melts through the floor of the plane, and Steve has to take down the plane to stop the bombs from hitting the United States. And he gets frozen in some ice in Russia for 70 years. And then Nick Fury digs him out and says hi to him.
Yeah.
And that's about this movie.
Yeah, they gloss over how they found him or any of that.
Yeah, we sort of learn later it has to do with, like, gamma radiation. That's at least how they found the Tesseract.
But they don't tell us that in this movie. Do they tell us that
Oh,
later?
No, they do. Well, they said
the
Russian...
They find him in the beginning of the movie.
They find him in the beginning of the movie. The Russian scouts, like, saw
I guess I forgot
location.
The beginning.
Yeah.
I had to watch this movie in parts, so...
They do say in the beginning that it's, like, Russian scouts found it. I don't know why the Russians told the Americans to come on down. Like, they were like, oh, we know what this is. You gotta come get your freaking Captain America out. Yeah, I don't really know about that.
Know.
James, what did you think about this movie?
Overall, I'm glad that Joe Johnston never returned to direct another Captain America movie because this movie is just so brown. I don't know if you noticed that.
Very brown.
It's very brown. I think
it's
Joe
the
Johnson
40s,
is a very
James.
Good...
That's how they look in the 40s.
Yeah. I remember distinctly when they announced that he was going to direct this movie. And I was excited because one of my favorite movies as a kid was The Rocketeer. And he directed that movie as well. So we all knew he was going to do well with, like, a period piece. But especially when you look at the previous MCU movies before this, it just looks out of place.
It does
and
a bit, yeah.
I just, yeah, and just well, none of the other appearances of Captain America look the same. So it just looks and feels very different from other parts of the MCU. I mean, and of course, as we know, like, the only major characters in this movie to appear several times across the rest of the MCU are Steve and Peggy Carter and Nick Fury, obviously, but he's barely in it. It just looks and feels so different.
Well, to that point,
well,
I didn't...
don't forget Bucky.
Well, yeah, Bucky. Sorry, I forgot about Bucky. Yeah. Bucky as well.
But like,
obviously, he's very different in the rest of the MCU.
I thought that the 40s stuff was going to be over a lot quicker. Like, there was a lot of time in that. So it like the way it looks, like the sepia of it all was. It's like, oh, it's like a dreamlike thing, and that's fine to do for like 10 minutes if you're like, this is a flashback. But it's like when the whole movie is that, it's like no. It just like starts messing, just like the AI Steve Rogers, like little boy Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
It just like messes with your brain. It's like, am I watching a cartoon? Like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say, like my final like major thought I have about rewatching it again is like, I'm just so glad that this is the only Captain America storyline that has like a heavy romance story, because it just doesn't, the chemistry just doesn't work the more and more you watch it between him and Peggy.
Yeah.
And yes, he does, spoiler alert, he does end up with her, yeah, the end of Endgame, but this is the most that we ever see them interact is in this movie, and it just feels like so weird and cheesy.
It's so forced.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. Like some of the conversations they have are just very cringy, like the scene in the car when they're driving to the super soldier procedure just always is so cringy to me, like talking about dancing, and it's like, okay,
oh,
I think
yeah.
you're just setting us up for like them to have this moment forever and ever, and it feels like you said, it feels forced. So it's very odd to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, and
I've always felt that Steve and Peggy romance, despite the fact that I really like Peggy Carter and I think Hayley Atwell is one of my favorite ladies of the MCU, their relationship to me has always been like a castle built on sand.
Yeah.
There isn't enough of a basis for it for them to make such a big deal of it for like through the whole rest of the series of films up to them, you know, when she's old and he goes to visit her all the time and, you know, he can't love anybody else because he loved her so much. It's the relationship is not that important to the story. First of all. And it's not developed. It's very much, well, this is a man and a woman, so obviously they're going to have, because they're the leads of the movie, they're going to have a romantic storyline.
Jennifer?
Yeah, he was skinny, and all of a sudden now he's hot and buff. So, of course, she's super into
him. Suddenly she's
liked
looking
him
at
when
her
he was skinny, though.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
I feel like it does a disservice to her character.
It does, yeah.
Because I feel like it would make her a stronger character for her to just be like all about business and being in the army, and this is what she's here to do. She's not here to just fall in love with whatever handsome guy comes along. It just does a real like for him, I feel like it's neither here nor there. But for her, I feel like it brings her character down.
True.
It reduces her agency a little bit.
Yes, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Jennifer, as a first-time viewer, how was this film overall?
It was long, Max. It was a long movie. that was my first thought. I was like, is it over yet? How much longer? It was interesting. It was a little heavy for me. I like a lighter... I've said this before. And I feel like, you know, we're still in the beginning stages of the MCU. And I feel like most of the ones I've seen have been more recent, or like at least like, you know, 2015 and after or so. Those, I feel like it starts to get more lighthearted, more jokes, more fun times. And the ones we've seen so far have all been pretty... Iron Man has his quips and stuff, but especially like the last two, the Hulk and this have both been kind of just like heavy and sad. It was just kind of a bummer. I thought the performances were really good. Stanley Tucci, despite his bad accent, I really did like in this movie a lot.
Yeah.
And I liked Tommy Lee Jones and I liked Carter. I liked all the performances. Yeah, it just kind of bummed me out a little bit. I found it to be a bit of a bummer.
In Captain America as a character, you sort of have to pack a lot of like funny, quippy people around him because he's a very stern, sort of a down to business person.
He really is. He's one track mind kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's very earnest. And because he's the only MCU hero in this movie, the movie itself is very earnest as well.
It
really feels like a throwback to me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, what did you think about this movie overall?
It is incredibly brown.
Yeah.
I find, especially compared to some of the ones we've seen lately, like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, this movie like sped by for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It does get a little bogged down in the middle section, you know, the part where he's doing the USO tour and, you know, all the business like leading up to him rescuing all the prisoners. That sequence, I think, is a little longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, probably.
But the finale, I think, goes by really quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, and I was thinking about that as I was watching it. I was like, oh, we're already at the end part where he gets on the plane with Red Skull. And every one of these MCU movies has to have a fight between the hero and someone, a villain who has similar powers.
Yeah.
And it's happened in every single one we've watched so far.
Right.
Yeah.
But it went by quickly and then suddenly it's over and I didn't feel like it took up too much of my time.
No, I feel like it. There's not a lot to this movie. I always imagine it being shorter than it actually is, but I don't really mind it that much. I feel like
yeah. It's not 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Dense of a plot. I don't know. It took me a while to get through
it's
this
pretty
one.
Straightforward.
But I mean, to be fair, I've had a rough couple of weeks. It's not entirely this movie's fault. It was hard squeezing in any kind of movie with my life right now. It took me a minute to I split it up into I think thirds to watch it. It took me a while to get through. But
now, and Jennifer, I can't remember, have you seen the other two solo Captain America movies?
I've seen no solo Captain America movies.
Okay. Well, if you made it through this one, you're going to love the other two because I think they're Breeze Ahead way better.
Yeah.
I feel like of all the solo movies I've seen, I feel like, and compared with either the, you know, Avengers movies or like later even solo movies, I feel like always the first solo movies are like the worst ones. Like
yeah,
I felt that way about Iron Man. I felt that way about Thor. I feel like the origin stories, I don't know if it's maybe because we kind of already know the stories a little bit because it's, you know,
retold. It's
hard to kind of like really surprise us with the plot because we're familiar with the characters. I mean, this is a comic book from the 1940s, you know, so it's like
it's the same thing as in familiar. Comic books. If you're watching these things, they reiterate the plots
and
of other
Superman
things
and all of it.
Yeah,
so, you know, same thing. They always seem to get better in the sequels.
Yeah,
these origin
it's true.
You know, these superhero movies.
And honestly, by the time we get to the third Captain America movie, it's not even really a Captain America solo movie anyways.
It's Avengers 2.5.
Like, yeah, it's like a
half
mini
Avengers.
It's like a mini Avengers movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. I find it hard to find what to talk about with this movie because there's just really not a lot to it. It's pretty straightforward. It's good. I like it. I enjoy it more or less.
I like this movie better than I like Captain America Civil War.
Fair enough. I can see that.
Because that's not a Captain America movie.
No, it's
and
not.
Also, the nice thing about this movie's plot is that it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's logical. Something really exciting that I realized watching this version is, you know, we have all of these famous superhero movies where the villain lets himself get captured.
Yeah.
But this time, the hero let himself get captured and pulled
true.
A switcheroo.
He does pull a switcheroo. That is a good point.
There is a switcheroo.
That is,
we
a good
do
switcheroo.
Know that I love a switcheroo.
Yeah.
This is true.
In a montage, this movie had both.
I like montages as well.
Lots of Captain America jumping through explosions in slow motion.
Yeah.
I mean, as silly as the USO tour stuff was, I did still kind of love it. Because, you know, I love a big, flashy musical number.
I do love the USO tour. The USO tour is
I enjoyed
is fun.
It. It was like watching the Rockettes.
Yeah.
That's a good montage because it starts off like kind of a rinky-dink operation. And by the end, he's doing like Radio City music hall with fireworks and all this kind of all this crap. So it's nice to watch that progression as it gets more and more successful.
Well, and then it is funny when you see the actual soldiers and they're like, no, this is crap.
No.
Like they're not responding to it. It's kind of funny because it's like brings them down to earth a little bit. Yeah, I was this big star because I put on this show.
They even threw tomatoes at him, even though they probably need those tomatoes.
I still don't super understand the logic of this plan. Like they went through all this trouble just to have him perform. If they're not going to have him be the super soldier, which what they wanted him to be, they should really like maybe put him in hiding.
Yeah, instead
like,
of like it doesn't quite
don't parade
make
him. Him around, but like maybe keep him on the sidelines as like a secret weapon for later. Like this plan, you could have had anybody play that role. Like you didn't need him to do it. You know what I mean? Like you could have just had an actor. So I didn't super get.
It's more of a device to get him into costume.
The costume, yeah.
So that all makes sense. Why he likes a shield and a costume?
Sure.
So
I mean, I do feel like it's a very inherently American thing to like parade instead of like using your best tools you have, parade them around in a show and, you know, just try and find a way to make them look flashy, you know. And like you said, Jonathan, it's a really nice context for it to start off like weird and rinky dinky with the USO stuff. Then he gets more and more confident. He's like super into it. And then all of a sudden it like goes right back to him being like super nervous and hating what he's
doing.
They
pull the rug right out from under him.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Jennifer, do you have any fun facts for us about this
movie? I have a couple
movie?
Cool fun facts. So there is some alternate casting, but Chris Evans was the first choice. He didn't have to audition. He kept turning it down. So they did consider a couple of other people, including Ryan Phillippe and John Krasinski.
Wow.
John Krasinski did an audition in costume, I think.
Interesting.
And Sebastian Stan, who's obviously in the movie.
Yeah.
But he tried out for Captain America, but he felt he looking back, thinks, you know, they made the right choice. Yeah.
Captain Romania.
Bucky. Emily Blunt was up for the part of Peggy.
Oh,
which is interesting.
Then it could have been John Krasinski
and Emily Blunt. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Anyone, if you guys don't already know, do you know how much would you guess Chris Evans was paid for this?
I know the answer to this.
Okay, then you don't guess. Don't guess.
I'll guess $6 million.
Jonathan?
I'm going to say $200,000.
It was actually $300,000, which sounds
so
low.
Oh, I was so close.
You were close. Yeah. By Age of Ultron, he was making $6.9 million. Yeah, $300,000.
Wow.
And they handpicked him. He didn't have to audition.
Like, what is that? Like, you know, like... If you think back to like Armageddon, Bruce Willis being angry about only getting paid $6 million
for
something.
Right. Like, his asking price was like $20 million 15 years before this movie was made. And granted, like that was Bruce Willis, but still, you would think he would at least garner $2 million, maybe?
Yeah, no.
Well, that's probably why Bruce Willis has never been in a Marvel movie.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Amongst other things, I'm sure.
So Stan Lee, you know, he has his classic cameo, of course, but he did not create the character of Captain in America.
You
that would be Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Whoever those guys
are. Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
Well, and I have an interesting fact about Stan Lee's cameo is that the guy that he's actually talking to played Captain America in the TV movies that came out in the 70s, I believe.
I did see that one. And then also the guy that's like the bartender, I think, was Chris Evans' body double. He makes an appearance. Leander Dini, that's the body double. Shout out that guy.
Shout out,
he
Leander.
Listens. He's a listens. Future guest
we'll
of the podcast.
On this podcast.
Yeah, come on the show. Talk about being doubles. A bartender with Jennifer or something else, maybe. I don't know.
Just be my body double.
What?
I don't know.
What?
Oh, and also the other one I did want to read was the first Captain America comic does appear in the film. So that was like the real comic.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
So, neat. Yeah. So should we do some awards?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do the winner and the loser. Jennifer, who do you think won and lost this movie?
I think Tommy Lee Jones wins because of that whole steak dinner scene. I really like that steak dinner scene.
It was
like
good.
A power
a good
play.
Interrogation.
It was a power play. It was funny. It was interesting. The guy thought he was going to poison him, and he's like, well, if you're not going to eat it, I'm just going to eat this steak in front of you. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's performance generally was just so intriguing.
Yeah, I think the loser is the guy who was beating up on little tiny Steve.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why are you being a bully to this like 4 foot 90-pound boy? Pick on somebody your own size.
Yeah, not a lot of sense there. Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say the loser of this one, I think, is Bucky Barnes.
Ooh, interesting.
He dies real quick.
Well, he dies real quick, but he also loses his mojo very early in the
immediately.
Movie. And he tries to hit on Agent Carter, and she like literally doesn't even acknowledge
his existence. Yeah. He sees...
He gets tortured. He has.
He does.
You know, he gets experimented on, and then later on, we're going to see why he returns and in what manner he returns. He just gets a raw deal this entire film.
I found him pretty insufferable throughout.
A little bit. He sets eyes on Super Soldier Steve for the first time, and he's just like immediately emasculated rather than just being like the same.
Or like, be happy for your friend. Yeah. You know? Like, you could tell he's one of those guys that like, oh, I picked a friend that I'm going to look like the cool one next
to. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, he picked a friend that he could always be better than.
He's just like Mia's friend in The Princess Diaries, who's like, oh, we're besties. And then when Mia gets a makeover, she's all jealous.
Wow. 100%. Just exactly like that. No idea.
Who was that bitch?
It's Heather Matarazzo is the actress, but it's Lily.
Yes.
Lily from The Princess Diaries.
Yeah, and remember Lily gets pissed because Mia won't come on her podcast.
Yeah, her cable access show.
The
podcast. Bucky Barnes would definitely be upset that Steve did not come on his
I know. Totally. He's totally like, oh, you got to glow up. We're not friends anymore. Like, okay. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the winner is Agent Carter because she gets to kick all. She shoots that guy from like 200 yards away.
She's a good shot.
She kills shot in the head.
Mm-hmm. So crazy. And then later and she can't.
That scene was wild. We didn't
even
really talk about that.
You know, she doesn't end up being Captain America's girlfriend, which I think is good for her personal development. Because he gets frozen in ice, she gets to go on and have her own career and do her own stuff. She gets to have her own TV show, which sadly was canceled, but it was pretty good when it was on. And then she ends up with Steve in the end anyway. So I think just in general, Peggy Carter is the winner of the MCU.
Yeah,
I agree.
Fair.
I would agree. All right, James, what about you? Who's your winner and who's your loser?
Well, I wish I could say that Captain America is the winner of this movie since it's his movie. But in my mind, I'm going along with Jennifer that Tommy Lee Jones, Colonel Phillips, is the winner of this movie for me. Because he has, what is in my mind, the funniest line of the movie is when we're watching Skinny Steve doing jumping jacks and he says, look at him, he's going to make me cry. I think that's the funniest line in the whole. Plus, like, there's also a fun, subtle nod to one of my favorite Tommy Lee Jones roles in that he gets to push the little red button when they're driving the car.
He does. They
just
let
like
him
he does in Men in Black.
Red button.
I wish we could have seen, like, it's great that we got to have an Agent Carter series. I wish we also could have gotten, like, a Howling Commandos show.
That would have been fun.
Would have been really fun. Yeah. Because you have some really good actors amongst that group.
You do.
I'm full of fun facts for this movie. The Asian guy that's part of the Howling Commandos, he shows up again in the Spider-Man Homecoming as the principal of Peter's school, that actor. And it turns out, like, he is actually the grandson of that guy that we see in this movie.
Whoa!
So there's
some
weird connections there.
That's
anyway.
Specific.
And there was an episode of Agent Carter where she reunited with the Howling Commandos. And I think that was one of the best episodes of that whole show.
Yeah, exactly. Neil McDonough is great in everything he does.
Yeah, those guys were really cool. I wanted more of them for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, Colonel Phillips is just really funny in this, even though he's kind of a dick at times, but he's definitely the winner. But the loser, I would have to say, is Gilmore Hodge, obviously, because he didn't get to be Captain America. He's totally sexist, and you can see how sad he is whenever Steve shows up after rescuing everybody, and he's just like, oh, well, I guess I'm not as cool as that guy, which, no, you're not. You're a D-bag, so that's why you didn't get to be Captain America.
Wow.
And he gets punched in the face by Peggy Carter.
He does.
Does indeed.
Real hard. So hard that he gets knocked to the ground.
Yep. I'd say the winner of this movie is Howard Stark because he gets a lot more play here than he ever really needed to.
I thought you were going to say Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Wow.
For his camp.
We are just misinterpreting Max's Howards in this episode.
To be fair, I keep wanting to say Steve Irwin instead of Steve Rogers also. But that's a whole different thing. Yeah, I think Howard Stark as the winner of this movie because he gets to just look real cool and have a fun old time. The loser, I feel like, is Captain America. A lot of bad stuff happens to him in this.
He gets frozen.
He gets frozen. He gets sort of pushed off to the side after it's supposed to be like his big, I'm a big strong guy moment now. And it's,
gets tomatoes thrown at him.
Yeah.
It's tomatoes.
He gets gets gaslighted a bit. It's fun.
Yeah, he does. On that note, is Howard the Duck in the MCU?
He is.
Okay.
Yes, and he is.
Is that the first MCU movie? His movie?
What?
Howard the Duck?
No.
No.
What? No. No, I don't think so. Oh.
No, that is not canon with the MCU.
Oh, but he's an MCU character?
He is. He makes cameos in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that makes sense. Including he fits in that
Endgame.
World.
And Endgame.
Endgame. He shows up in Endgame real quick.
That checks out. Okay.
And he was in the most recent Guardians movie again as well.
No.
Fair enough.
Okay.
You will someday.
Well, we'll get there. Well, right now I'm not watching anymore because, you know, I'm just waiting for us to do the
Fair
podcast.
Enough.
So I only watch the ones I've already seen.
Fair enough. Let's do some high school style superlatives for this. Hey, Jonathan, do you have like a fun, funky high school award to give this Captain America movie?
Yeah, I'm going to give School Slut to Natalie Dormer's character.
Yeah.
We recently watched her, and I don't know if you clocked this, Max, but you know, she was from Game of Thrones. Dr. Phillips.
Dr. Phillips.
Colonel Phillips's secretary is played by Natalie Dormer, who is famous for playing Marjorie in Game of Thrones.
Great character in Game of Thrones.
She's the one who kisses Steve Rogers and causes the kerfuffle with Agent Carter, which creates the best part of the movie, in my opinion, is when she just takes a gun and starts shooting at Steve Rogers.
Like that is
mad that he was kissing another woman.
It's so insane. What an insane choice for
that. And I'm like, does she know that shield is bulletproof? I don't think she knew it for sure. But yeah, she was such a hoe. She was just interested in him because he was famous. And I don't
it's
like
true.
That. Even though she's very pretty and she looks good as a blonde, too.
She does, yeah. Jennifer, what about you?
Worst executed, well thought out plan to S.H.I.E.L.D. because they went through this elaborate ruse, made up this giant building and tried to convince him it was still the 40s. But then they decide for whatever reason that they need a radio in this room and they need the radio to be broadcasting a baseball game instead of just, you know, music.
Yeah.
And they go through all that trouble and they pick a game that would have already happened in the time
years
Captain
before.
America. Yep. Yeah. Like 4 years earlier.
Way before.
What is this plan? Why was that choice? I don't buy it.
It's
they went through all
plan.
That trouble and they're like, well, we have to have something playing on the radio. Let's pick a game that he would already have known happened.
Yeah.
What a big mistake.
Is it like that much better than to just have a guy sitting in there until he wakes up and just yells, it's the future now?
I mean, they want to ease him into it, I guess. But like, why play a baseball game on the radio? Why not just have music? Why even have a radio? Why have this woman dressed in the... What was the point of that?
You could have just had Christopher Lloyd, Cameron, in this film as Doc Brown and tell him, we brought you back to the future.
Well, and then I just don't understand. Their plan got messed up because of that. And then he like runs out of the building or whatever. But what was the next step? Say he didn't figure that baseball game thing out. What was the plan here?
He gets to live a happy life in his tiny little room.
That one room.
Yeah. I mean,
what were they going to do with him at that point?
They say briefly, Samuel L. Jackson says, like, we thought it would be best to break it to you slowly. Because I guess you just never know how somebody's going to react when they wake up after being frozen for 70 years.
Yeah, sure. I know how it's going to happen. I've encountered this problem
on the daily, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So clearly, they were just trying to like make sure he doesn't go completely psycho, which he ends up doing anyway.
Yeah, but again, poorly executed plan. Do your due diligence. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, play a game from 1946, not 1941.
Or just play music. Why are we listening to a baseball game?
I don't know.
So strange.
Why does something have to be playing? I don't know.
Because they had to give him some reason to remember that he was at the game.
It's true.
That's why.
It's a device.
That whole thing was just for the audience. It was just because they wanted to have a final switcheroo.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. Most poorly executed plan goes to S.H.I.E.L.D. That was... terrible.
What about you, James?
Probably worst, but also like still relevant politician representation of the senator who's like complaining about how, why are we here in Brooklyn? Why am I here? Why am I here? And they're like, why did a German spy end up amongst your team? Like, how, you know, when Tommy Lee Jones asks him, oh, I'm sure you know about Johann Schmidt. I'm sure you've seen our briefings. And he's like, well, I'm on a bunch of committees. It's like, oh, wow. This is like, people are still like that. And also I was going to say, easiest escape ever by Richard Armitage's character, the Hydra spy. And how does he get out of there? Like, how? He gets shot multiple times and still is like, is he a super soldier too?
He's other super soldier.
He's in a fortress. He's in a fortress, just like surrounded by all these people with guns, and somehow he manages to escape very easily.
People with machine guns.
Yeah.
He's got a pistol and he shoots that old lady with the machine gun. How did she not shoot him first?
Yeah.
Well, she is old. Maybe
How did she get a machine gun?
Maybe, well, it was already there when they showed it when they walked in behind the counter there, because she's like a spy too.
Got it. Okay.
Yep, you missed it.
Ha.
Wow. You got me.
She's grandma spy. I've got your Werther's Originals right here, and it's a machine gun.
I'm going to give floppiest face to Johann Schmidt, because wow, his face just gets... They do a good job of making it look like his face is not his face all the way through the movie. So,
very true.
Good on them. Like, you, like there are seams to it. It's a little bit saggy. It's
like, it just looks not quite right.
It looks not quite
the
right.
Kind of like how they do
the
in Men in Black.
Don't look right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That bug guy in Men in Black is the same thing. It's like the droopy kind
of Edgar.
Look. Yeah.
Also with a special shout out to worst job ever for the guy who had to paint him. That guy who was making Schmidt's portrait.
The portrait.
Yeah.
That was weird.
He looked very uncomfortable.
I wouldn't
want to
look at
that. Thank God he has a lot
of
red paint.
Guy.
But that is such a classic movie villain trope, though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Movie villains,
I'm getting
are
my
always
portrait
either
taken. Yeah.
Getting their portrait made. Or they're sitting in a nightclub during the day listening to a Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
It's like one of those two things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they have a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do whatever the next thing is.
Rate the movie?
All right. Let's rate the movie. We're going to pick a metric that has something to do with this movie and give it something out of 5. Let's start with you, James.
Oh, I'm going to give this Captain America movie, I gotta admit, I don't have any clever ratings to give, but I'm gonna give it 3.5 stars on a shield out of 5. It's definitely the weakest of the Captain America franchise. I don't think I'm like out of place in saying that. I think most Marvel and MCU fans would agree with me on that one. Still a fun watch for me. I still enjoy it. Of the Captain America films, because it's the oldest, I've probably seen it the most. Because I'm a huge Captain America fan, typically like on around my birthday, I have a tradition of like watching the Captain America movies, because they just bring me joy, and you know, so it's always fun to go back and rewatch this. Yeah, it has its weak moments. I won't say it's a perfect movie, because it's not. Yep, 3.5 stars out of 5.
All right, what about you, Jonathan?
I'm gonna give this 3.75 Tesseracts, because this is the original MCU movie that introduced us to the Tesseract, which eventually got super overused in the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still fresh and new in this one. I think this is a really solid action movie. I think Chris Evans and Hayley Atwell, although I agree that the romantic chemistry isn't as quite as strong as the movie wants us to think it is, I think they're really engaging as leads. And I really like seeing Chris Evans in this more earnest, it's like very straightforward good guy role, because he usually plays, and I think it was a good stretch for him, because he usually plays like really smarmy characters.
Yeah, true.
And it was nice just to see him playing a nice person for a change.
Yeah.
And and Tommy Lee Jones is great. There's a lot to enjoy about this one. And I don't mind watching it, and I wouldn't mind watching it again.
What about you, Jennifer?
I'm going to agree with James. And I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 missing dancer girl helmets. I liked a lot of it. I felt it could be trimmed down a bit. It was a little uncanny valley with all the brown and the AI stuff. So that was a little distracting for me. But for the most part, it's pretty solid. Like I said, the intro movies tend to usually not be my favorites, but obviously you got to have those to have the later more fun, wackier ones.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as an origin story, it's maybe one of the better ones that we've watched so far, but still not overall my favorite movie or anything. Yeah, solid, medium, B+.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give this one 3 out of 5 kids who can swim. It's like, this is a very good movie. I enjoy watching it. It's just, it's not my favorite. And there are better Marvel movies out there.
I mean, I think, like you said, it's like, there's a lot going on, but at the same time, there's not necessarily a lot to comment on or talk about, really. We haven't had tons of things to say about this one, I feel like, overall, as opposed to some of the other ones.
True. I forgot to ask this question earlier, but I feel like we know the answer. James, is this better than the Muppet movie?
Oof, no. Muppet movie still triumphant over probably most of the solo MCU movies, in my opinion.
I agree. Hail Hydra, more like Hail the Muppet movie.
Right?
Yeah.
And shout out Disney Plus for their new series, Muppets Mayhem. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but I enjoyed that one. Y'all should check it out.
I might have to.
Yeah.
Nice plug.
Yeah, it was a good one. They need my plugs. Disney Plus is hurting. Yeah. They're hoping for
without you,
my
they're doomed.
Endorsement.
They're a young upstart. Jennifer is getting the word out about Disney Plus.
In case you guys haven't heard about this new thing called Disney Plus. Yeah, Muppets Mayhem, check it out though. It's a good one.
Yeah. Use Jennifer's code Jennifer Branch brackets of the Winter Garden branches closed brackets to get a 0% off discount for Disney Plus.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any final thoughts? Final thoughts on this movie?
You brought up something, Max, in your thought recently that made me just want to bring it up because it's my final, I guess you could say my final thought, is that I still continue to be impressed in this movie by the effects for Red Skull and Skinny Steve.
Yeah.
Talking about like Red Skull, I feel like of the kind of like weird looking villains that you see in the MCU, I feel like the top two for me have to be Red Skull and Thanos in terms of like they made it look a nice fresh take on it compared to the comic book versions, but making it look, even though he's ridiculous, he's this red guy without a nose, it still looks really cool. So I still continue to be impressed by how they pulled that off, and Skinny Steve as well. Like, and if you look into the history of like how they did that, you got to like think about like how time consuming it must have been for them to film those sequences, because it's like they had to do one sequence with Chris Evans normally, one scene with everyone else, with everybody except for Chris Evans, one with the body double that was like a smaller, skinnier version. And then I think they did like a fourth take with some other weird variation of that.
Yeah, and I read that one too,
We see lots of instances across the MCU of this particular studio that was responsible for making that effect doing great work. And I think this was kind of their first project for the MCU. And they ended up doing like the de-aging of certain characters in the future MCU. The one that comes to mind right away is Kurt Russell in Guardians 2. I think it was the same people that did that. And it just always looks really awesome and still holds up to this day, even though
technology is, of course. It is sort of a unnerving experience only because you know it is Chris Evans and it's like, oh, it's weird to see Chris Evans like that.
It's not like another actor that they got to look at him. Yeah.
But it's not because it looks fake or because the CGI is bad. It's just jarring to see like Chris Evans as like this scrawny little thing.
Yeah.
You're right. The effects absolutely hold up.
Yeah. There are a few moments where it doesn't look so great, but
it's in the eyes for me. The eyes look weird.
It's the size of the head for me. There are times when it's just not quite right, but overall it holds up way better than it should have.
Agreed.
Honestly.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for Captain America, the First Avenger.
When do we get to watch the movie that's titled The Second Avenger?
It hasn't been titled The Second Avenger, but that would be Captain Marvel canonically.
But when are we going to see Captain America World Police?
Oh,
Oh boy.
We'll get this
out. Jennifer, have you ever seen?
No.
We should do that.
No.
I've seen that movie.
No. I have not seen it. I don't think I need to see it though. I don't.
Max would hate
it. I don't know if it's prestigious.
No. No, you don't need to watch it. Why did I watch it? I don't know, but I've seen it.
Anyways, we'll get Trey Parker and Matt Stone right on Captain America World Police and see how it goes.
Yep. Future guests of the podcast, those idiots.
Yeah.
Anyways,
thank you for joining us, James and Jonathan. James, do you have anything to plug? James, as always, does all of the artwork for our show, and it is awesome.
Yes, true.
Yeah, I'm about to have a lot of extra time on my hands because I'll be going on paternity leave in a few months. So I might be putting out some more content for anybody that follows me. So you can find me on Instagram at Pleasant View Designs if you want to see some of the artwork that I do. I think it's fun. You might find it fun too. So be sure to check me out.
Some Muppet stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. For me.
I can do Muppet stuff.
Yeah.
Just for Jennifer.
Thanks.
Yes. All right. So check out those links down below to James's Instagram. Jonathan, do you have anything to plug?
Well, as always, I'm up here in beautiful, rainy, cold Maine. It's been cold for so long,
No.
I really feel like I found my place on this earth where I should be.
Oh, you do love that.
I love cold weather.
Yeah, but you haven't even been there during winter yet. You've only been there in summer.
Yeah.
It's going to get colder.
But the summers are fantastic.
I'm going there next week. Working. Make me excited for it to not be that cold.
Okay. I'm sure it'll warm up by then.
Okay.
But I'm up here working at the Ogunquit Playhouse. As at the time of this recording, we're getting ready to start Singing in the Rain, which is a movie that I hated. And then later on, we're going to be doing Tootsie, which is another movie that I hated. So,
cool.
It's fun. And also Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah. Gotta see that Da Vinci Code, the not musical.
It's not a musical.
Yeah.
Bummer.
I never even knew that could be done as a live stage performance. Interesting.
Well, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, or it's going to be terrible. I don't know. But by the time this comes out, it will already have happened, so history will be the judge.
Nice.
Cool.
So check out the Ogunquit Playhouse. They do lots of cool plays. Jonathan, are you going to stick around for the next movie?
I am, because I have no idea what it is.
Awesome. Cool. I'm excited then. All right, James, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, as always, guys.
Thanks, James.
I can do this all day.
Cool.
And you will. Keep doing keep podcasting after you and your call.
I will. I'll be doing this all day.
Yeah, please do a podcast where you spend 24 hours talking about Captain America, the First Avenger.
Ooh, boy.
Someone out there has done it.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, James.
Bye, James.
And now it is time to talk about our next movie.
Yay.
And it's gonna be a good one.
I have no clue. Not even the slightest.
Our next movie is Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Really?
Hobbs and Shaw.
We are doing Hobbs and Shaw, everybody. I'm so pumped.
I can't wait.
I haven't watched Fate of the Furious.
Because you weren't there. Fate of the Furious. It's pretty good.
Was Fate of the Furious?
Fate of the Furious was amazing. You have to watch it.
You do. We can watch it together when I'm up there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we got our Jason Statham. We got our The Rock. They're bald. They're a team.
Yes.
They're gonna go on adventures. They're not going to bring that baby, which the baby's also bald. They should bring the baby.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, wait.
I have no idea what's
going on. Jonathan hasn't seen the...
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Don't reveal anymore.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
But I don't know. What's it about?
I don't know what it's about. I haven't seen it either.
Cool. I don't know if they're going to be good guys or bad guys. Are they on a heist or are they on a rescue? I don't know.
But I think the bad guy in this one is Idris Elba.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Wait, but he's bald.
He is bald. Maybe he's not bald. Maybe he just has like a buzz cut.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, guys, he's a cyborg.
No.
That sounds familiar to me, actually.
I do feel like I've heard that this is we've already seen some kind of people can't fly out of cars and stuff. But I think this one is one where they're really like, oh, yes, there is supernatural things that play here. This is the first one where it's like legit part of the story that they have powers.
I don't know anything about what's going to happen. I think they go to an island, or they're like defending an island or something.
Okay.
It sounds might be
good.
Like Maori.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean, Hobbs and Shaw.
Could be. I don't know. The impression that I get from what I know of this movie is like it's like the Spy Kids 3 of the Fast and the Furious universe.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but that's kind of just the vibe.
It'll make
I get.
Sense once we watch it.
We'll
I'm
see
sure.
if I'm right about
or
that.
It'll make no sense. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't now. I don't know why it would later, but you'd never know with these movies.
Yeah, right? And yeah, that'll be great. But that's our show, everyone. Thank you for liking, subscribing, downloading, leaving 5-star reviews. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at whatdoyoumeanyouveneverseen@gmail.com. Check the links below for all of our social media handles. I'm Jennifer.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Max.
Hail Hydra!
Ah.
Jennifer, that's a Nazi thing. Don't do that.
Oh, don't Hail Hydra!
God.
We could do this all day.
No, we can't. Our episodes and digital content are produced by Max Abelman. Your hosts are our writer, Jonathan Colon, producer, Max Abelman, and head of social media and community outreach, Jennifer Branch. All artwork for our show is created by James Alexander with Pleasant View Designs. Check the links in the description below for more information on how to follow the show and subscribe to our Patreon. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you at the movies!